as I wait, heart of God.
Welcome to the Growth Group Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you go deeper with Sunday's teaching, both in your small group and your individual walk with the Lord. Well, this week in our Saturate series kind of marks a bit of a transition, doesn't it? We've spent the last 3 weeks, interrupted by a testimony, talking about our identity as disciples of Jesus, followers of Him, looking first at the fact that we are brought into a family, the family of God. That is our core identity. Yeah. And then, of course, we're servants just as Jesus was a servant, and we're missionaries as Jesus was a missionary himself, sent by the Father. But now, tell me about what these next 2 weeks are going to be about.
Well, one of the big challenges of these things is that so often in church we have a new program. We have a program that's going to enable us to do all of these different things, and we want people to engage with the program. This is a very different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Because it says, look, the whole idea of rhythm, of course, we saw when we were looking at emotionally healthy spirituality.
Yeah, these series really tie well together, don't they?
Right. That we should be, that there should be patterns and of our lives that we need to work on patterns and disciplines that make sure that
there is series was
balance
really about
in our lives.
Crafting those patterns.
Right.
This is about using existing patterns.
Right. Now we're beginning to talk about what we can do, how we can look at the actual events of our lives, things that we already do.
Yeah, Vanderstelt really makes a focus on that, doesn't he?
Right.
Things that are already in place in your life.
Things that we already do and use them intentionally for the gospel. And therefore, it's not establishment of, in a sense, a new rhythm, although there may be changes in rhythm that we actually have, but it's using the rhythms that we have in ways that perhaps we've not thought of before.
Yeah, yeah. Vanderstelt's word for that is infusing.
Yeah.
Infusing the gospel into them. We're going to see that in our first question, called Rhythms in General. Having invested significant space to our new identity, family, servant, missionary, Vanderstelt transitions in his book Saturate to practical ways we live out this identity. Surprisingly, he insists this will not happen by adding another activity or event to our busy lives, but rather by infusing the gospel into our everyday rhythms. Break down that provocative and powerful sentence. One, have you experienced an event and activity overloaded Christianity? Two, what does it mean to infuse the gospel into a specific part of one's life? And finally, what does Vanderstelt mean by everyday rhythms?
Well, everyday rhythms, of course, are the things that we do every day. We eat.
Yep.
We
celebrate
talk to
someone's
people,
birthday.
We celebrate somebody's birthday. Well, not maybe every day, but these are the things
it
that
happens
we
regularly.
Routinely
yeah.
regularly mm-hmm. do. And we've probably never actually thought, how can that be used? How can the gospel be? How can
be
the life of a believer mm-hmm. change that? How can it be a platform for saturating people with the gospel, dripping Jesus on somebody?
Right, right.
There are multiple ways, of course.
How do we turn slides into water slides?
Yeah. Oh, David.
That was bad. One example is on the dinner table, and that's what our second question is about. Our first rhythm is called eating. Everyday meals are spiritual events. How do Psalm 104 and Matthew 6 affirm this second bold statement by Vanderstelt? Think also about significant meals in the storyline of Scripture. In what ways might you view your breakfast, lunch, and dinner differently if you realize that each was a way to remember and display the gospel? How can we? What can we do to open our tables to each other better? Could you plan a meal as an act of mission?
You know, he points out, and it's interesting if some of us have read the book, The Common Rule.
Yes.
And he talks about the importance of meals too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you think about how many, Jeff Vanderstelt points out, we have 21 meals a week.
That's a big number.
It's a big number. And so he suggests that you have one...
Right, carve out one intentionally.
Yeah, and have it... somebody. Now, you know, he's pretty flexible about these things, and I think that that's important.
Yeah.
You know, it could be coffee, it could be any of those things, but we intentionally spend that meal with somebody, and particularly with maybe somebody who is not believing.
Yeah, maybe someone at work. that could be quite easy.
You could, I mean... Probably most of us who go to work, go out to work, go away from our homes to work, we have lunch with somebody. We have lunch somewhere.
So help me understand. Are we to try to evangelize and share the gospel at this one meal a week? What's Vanderstelt's idea with this special
It's a relational meal? Building exercise.
Relational building exercise.
Now, you know, God might open the door for you to share the gospel. Or when you talk about your life, there are things that if you're... When we're Christians, our walk with Jesus should affect our daily lives. And so it comes out naturally. He's not saying, okay, so you sit down and you've got to get your four spiritual laws out.
And you start thumping with the Bible.
No, you're building relationships. You're being friendships that will enable you to live life with somebody.
Mm. And when you live life with someone for a year, you're going to run into at least two birthdays.
Yes.
That's what our second question is about. Our second rhythm is called celebrating. Celebrating. As people made in the image of God, we are created to celebrate. We celebrate because God celebrates. He parties. I'm taking this from Vanderstelt, by the way. This isn't my... but it's great. What does the culture around you celebrate? From national holidays like Thanksgiving to more individual events like promotions or graduations... Can you join an already existing celebration in a way that both remembers and displays the gospel to your community and mission field?
Well, you know, we can participate in all of these things. And then again, we get an opportunity. One of the things that Vanderstelt talks about is bringing the better.
Better wine.
Yes, I mean, he talks about in John 2 when Jesus brings better wine. When you and you help clear up. You serve these communities.
Liz is good at that, isn't she?
Yeah, she's very good at that. She's the best washer-upper I've ever come across. but, you know, you look for occasions where you can bring the better, you can help, and because that's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Right. Display your identity. I mean, your identity is on display no matter what you do and wherever you go. And certainly when you go to a graduation party for someone, it's there too. Our third rhythm, third of six, and in these next 2 weeks, but we're only focusing on three this week. That third rhythm is something that Vanderstelt calls recreating, which is kind of a combination of creating and resting, I think what was his idea. This is a question. God created everything in 6 days, and then he rested. We, as his image bearers, were designed to do the same thing, create and rest. Do you consider yourself a creative person? How has God wired you? What are you particularly good at? How might you infuse this unique creative talent with gospel significance? What about rest? In a typical month, how well and how often do you rest? What types of things do you do for rest and play? What are some untruths or false identities that you believe which keep you from resting? A couple things going on in that question. We're talking about being creative and creating and then resting as well and what that looks like.
Yes, I mean, I think it's really important to have rhythms of work and, in a sense, play. Because recreation, I mean, and one of the things that that talks about recreation being different from creation, that you know, and sometimes we get ourselves into legalism as to these are the things you can't do, these are the things you can do, but these are the things which God allows to restore our, fill our rest tanks, if you will, the things that, you know, for me, playing golf is part of that. You know, I get, because I, you know, it's very different from what I do for the rest of the time, but looking to make sure that God, that we do take time to rest, take time to be with God, take time and just time to recreate.
I do want to let our listening audience know that Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, has a putt-putt golf thing here in his office. Now, it is in the box, but I can't. I'm only here a couple days a week, so I'm not sure. Maybe he has it set up the other days of the week, and he's putting all week long. I don't know.
I've never actually got it out of the box here. It's never been used at the luau. But, okay, yes,
well,
I do have
that. That's as good a place as anywhere to store it, isn't it? All right, well, we have focused this week on three rhythms: eating, celebrating, and recreating. Next week, we're going to look at three more rhythms, and I don't know if we're going to bring the blues, but we definitely have the rhythms.
But I really like the practicality of these things.
Yeah,
because they, and the fact that they don't add something extra to it.
That's wonderful. All right, well, we'll see you then.
As I wait, heart of God.